In the year 1818, it was Christmas Eve in a little town in the beautiful Austrian Alps called Obendorf, and a young man called Joseph Moore lived there. He was the assistant pastor of St. Nicholas's Church, and he had just written a poem celebrating the birth of Jesus, and he called the church organist, who was Franz Gruber, and asked him to set his poem to music. And so that night, Gruber and Moore sang a song accompanied only by guitar, and it's a song that would eventually be known all over the world, and we've just sung it, becoming one of the best known Christmas carols, Silent Night, Holy Night, or Still the Night. And Joseph Moore, in his poem, described that image of Jesus being born in a stable at nighttime, a quiet darkness all around the baby Jesus, still the night. And likewise, the Bible describes Jesus being born in darkness. Not just the darkness of that particular night 2,000 years ago when the shepherds were watching their sheep, but the darkness of this world. Because Jesus was born into the shadowy gloom of this sinful world. There in verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet puts it very strikingly when he says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." See, the people in Jesus' day were walking in darkness. And actually, the previous verse there, verse 1 of this prophecy, mentions a very specific place where there is darkness. Galilee of the nations, just the end of verse 1 there. Galilee of the Gentiles. And Isaiah says in verse 1 that in the past, God had humbled that place, Galilee. It was dark. It was a dark place. Why? Because it was full of Gentiles. It was a place of the nations who were ignorant of the true and living God. That was in the past, says Isaiah. But in the future, Galilee of the Gentiles, Galilee of the nations, would be a glorious place, says the prophet. It would have a light shone on it. And we know that Jesus, having grown up in Nazareth, went to live in Capernaum, which was on the Sea of Galilee, just in the north coast there of the Sea of Galilee. And so Jesus fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy. He walked on the waters in Galilee. He raised a widow's son at Nain in Galilee. And he turned water into wine at Cana of Galilee, just as the prophet said. The darkness of this world began to be dispelled by Jesus Christ in Galilee. And this is because Jesus claims to be the light of the world. And so he is. His spark, the first spark, began in Galilee of the nations, but then it has spread all around the globe. His teaching, his influence, his followers are all around the world. They're everywhere. He is the light. They are the light in this dark world. And how badly this world needs the light. We only have to turn on the news to see the dark, murky troubles of this world. Wars, murders, terrorism, robberies, pornography, gambling, selfishness, greed, abuse. I mean, what a dark world we live in. But there is hope. There is light. Jesus Christ is the light. He calls people out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I'm sure we all know what it's like when there's a power cut at home. We used to have them quite regularly, really, in Annalong for some reason. But, you know, the lights go out and you can't find the candles and you don't have any matches in the house and you stumble around the house. You're bumping into furniture. It's dangerous because of the darkness. And we need the light in order to find our way. And no doubt some of us find ourselves in life a bit like that, stumbling around in the darkness. You might feel sometimes directionless, perplexed, befuddled, and you're not alone. Many, many people are like that. They're in the dark as to what life is really all about. They're confused about the meaning of life. Why are we here? How did we get here? But Jesus Christ provides the answers. He gives the meaning to life. He lets us know that life has a purpose when you start to live for him, when you start to serve him, when you start to serve God. Now, you may be in the dark about how to serve God, how to live for Jesus. Maybe you know that you've made mistakes in the past, perhaps treated people badly or said the wrong word that you've later regretted. Perhaps there's a dark side to your life that only you know about, and you need forgiveness for that. You need the light to come into your life and dispel the darkness. What Jesus said in John's Gospel, I am the light of the world. And so no one needs to be stumbling around in life, stumbling around in the darkness anymore, because he can give us a good way of living, a good way. He can give you a purpose for life, serving him in every single situation that you find yourself in. He can give you forgiveness from guilt and from sin. And so at Christmas, as we read from Isaiah 9, a very famous passage, famous prophecy, we remember that a light has been shined. That's our theme, I suppose, for tonight. We've sung quite a few carols about light. A light has been shined. But also at Christmas, we remember that a son has been given. And again, we learned that here in Isaiah 9 from the prophecy. Verse 6 there of our reading. Verse 6, famously, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, Isaiah was writing these words 700 years before Christ. Amazing, isn't it? At the time, Israel needed a new governor. It was being threatened by a large army, the Assyrians. And the enemy were about to invade. They were going to devastate their country. They devastated the region around Israel. And Israel knew that it needed a deliverer, someone who would save them from their enemy. And so when they hear the words of Isaiah, they must have been delighted. It's a message about a rescuer. To us a child is born. To us a son is given. I suppose they probably would have preferred a fully grown warrior for Isaiah to prophesy that sort of a leader. But at least they have this promise of a son who would sit on the throne of David and become their king and rescue them from the invaders. Now, King David had been their greatest king, and the people always hoped for someone as good as David, someone upon whose shoulders the government of Israel could be placed. But Isaiah was actually prophesying way into the future, 700 years later. He was predicting a governor, a king, that would come at hundreds of years after they were expecting him, because ultimately it is Jesus Christ who governs his prophesied kingdom. And his kingdom is like no other kingdom in the world. It's not found on any map. It has no boundaries or borders. You can enter his kingdom anywhere in the world, and many people do, but it has this very special person as its ruler, the Lord Jesus Christ. The government of the kingdom of God is on his shoulders. And you can enter God's kingdom. We do it by submitting ourselves to Jesus, where he becomes your governor. You need to rely on his death for you personally. You see, he died in your place to to take your punishment. We remember that at Easter time, I suppose, but we can never separate Christmas from Easter. Jesus was born at Christmas so as he could save us at Easter. And his death was full payment in full for all our sins. And when you accept that and him as your king, then you enter into his kingdom. And as governor of the kingdom, Jesus has been appointed judge of the whole world. He will return one day and judge us for the way that we've lived our lives. And although you may have been a good person, you may also have been a rebel, rebelling against and ignoring the ruler of this world, God. And Jesus will judge us for that. But when you rely on his death and trust in his death, believing that he died for you as a payment for that rebellion, then when the judge comes, he will bring forgiveness. He will forgive you. You'll be acquitted by the judge. But when you enter his kingdom, he also becomes your governor in this life. That's the word that the prophet uses here. The government is on his shoulder. He becomes your governor. And so submitting to him today is not just life assurance for when you die, but rather it means living day by day under his governorship, under his authority. When you become a Christian, you now live with Jesus as your ruler. It's a big step to take. It's a transforming step for the better. And it's a costly step because it means giving the reins over to him. You're not living your life anymore for yourself, but you're living it for him. He's in charge now, not you. And so at Christmas, Isaiah 9, it tells us that a light has been shined and a son has been given. Jesus has come as a light and as a son, the Son of God. He comes to enlighten our hearts to the true meaning of life, which is serving God. And he's come to rule our hearts and lives, to govern our lives, as we read his word and as we learn from that how he wants us to live. At this Christmas time, is he your light? Is he your king? Let's bow our heads and pray for a moment.